You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, we are here tonight. We're celebrating the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But remembering, though, too, as we're celebrating His birth, remembering and celebrating the reason that He came. You know, for many of us, Christmas is a happy time. It is a joyous time, but admittedly, though, some of the joy of this has been dampened, though, this year. It's been dampened by pain, by loss, and hardships that so many of us have faced this year. But, you know, even without the pandemic, Christmas isn't always a joyous time, though, for some. And it can be a very painful time, a lonely time, a fearful time, a dark time. We may grieve painful losses, perhaps especially those that may have happened at this time of the year. We may be facing an uncertain future, or we may feel desperately alone. And so we need a light. We need a light that shines in the darkness of the world. You know, there's so much anger out there, hatred and bitterness, immorality, war, crime, disease, death. There's great darkness in this world. But there's darkness, too, in this community. There's darkness in Wonder Lake. And, you know, there are so many in our community out there right now, perhaps someone here, or maybe your neighbor, who is wrestling with very dark feelings, with feelings of hopelessness and despair. And some, unfortunately, may think that the only solution to that is to end their lives. And so we need hope. People need hope. And I want us to remember what biblical hope is, though. You know, when we say that word hope, it means a wish or a desire for something that may or may not happen. But when the Bible speaks about hope, it's something that is true and sure and certain. Biblical hope, then, is a sure and certain promise of things to come, good things to come. But, you know, a promise, though, is only as good as the character and the power of the person who makes it. And so with biblical hope, then, it consists, then, of these good promises of God that are backed up, though, by the holy and just and loving character of God and the almighty power of God. And what is that hope, then, that we have? What is that hope that we celebrate? Well, that hope is the hope of eternal life and blessing forever in the presence of God. That hope is God's promise that one day, soon, He will resurrect our frail and sick and mortal bodies and transform them into glorious resurrected bodies that will never get sick or die. That hope is that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth that will be forever set free from the presence of the consequences of sin. No more death, no more disease, no more sorrow, no more pain. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you can share then too. You can share in that hope too through faith in Christ our Savior, who is the light that shines in the darkness and has overcome. So tonight then, let's give our worship to the one who is eternally worthy of our praise and our devotion. Let's give our worship to the one who has overcome darkness and despair. I want to read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. It is a passage which speaks of Jesus as our light and our hope. You know, shortly after the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary obeyed the law of God, and they brought Jesus up to the temple in Jerusalem to offer sacrifice. And Luke there tells us, it says, "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. You know, as Simeon saw this baby come into the temple to be presented there, he knew that this was the Christ, the Messiah, the deliverer. You know, some of us have a bucket list of things we want to do, things that we want to accomplish or see or experience before we die, a bucket list. Well, if Simeon had a bucket list, he had one item on it, and maybe this was the only item that would have been on his list, and that is he wanted to see the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. What does the scripture tell us there about this man, Simeon? Well, we're told he was righteous and he was devout in his relationship with God. That is, he was not like the Pharisees. He was not a hypocrite, but rather righteous and truly devout. And he was waiting for the Messiah to come. That is, he was ready for his appearance. He was ready and eager to welcome him when he came. He was a spirit-filled man and a spirit-led man. And I got to think that perhaps early every morning, Simeon probably went to the temple and he watched and waited there for Emmanuel, the Messiah, to come. And he might have been doing this for many years or maybe even many decades. How many of you here, perhaps you've been waiting for something, desiring something, and you've been waiting for years or maybe even decades for that? And so here was Simeon. He was waiting. He'd been waiting a very long time. And you wonder, how would he know? How would he know when Messiah came? What should he look for? And I wonder if each time a young couple came in with a baby, did he wonder, is this the one? Well, the scripture tells us that the Spirit of God told him that this was the one. And so suddenly now, Simeon, after waiting for who knows how long, I'm sure his heart must have leapt within him because now the days of waiting were finally over. Here is the one that the nation and all the world had been waiting for. Listen to what Simeon says about Jesus. He says, well, that he is the deliverer. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And so to see Jesus is to see God's salvation, this deliverance, this hope, this deliverance from death. So this salvation is for all people. Now, Jesus was Jewish, and he came first to the Jews, but his coming was not only for them. He came for all people. He came to shine the light of God into every nation, every tribe, every tongue. The gospel is global in its scope, but it's also particular in its focus because Jesus came for you. He came for me. So this salvation is for all people, but it was also for God's people, something the Jews had been waiting for many centuries. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, all of them had been promised that a Savior would come. God spoke through Isaiah and prophesied that this son would be born of a virgin, that his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And Micah had predicted that this Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So Jesus is the deliverer. But you know, we're also told there that he is a divider, that it is by in his coming that his coming would divide some people and it would reveal their hearts then as well. So after hearing what Simeon said, at first Joseph and Mary, they marveled at what was being said about Jesus. But this marveling, though, would also be filled with some pain as well. As Simeon gives a word of warning, and he tells Mary that some dark days were coming, And I'm sure that was no doubt very difficult for her to hear. He predicted that many will resist and reject Jesus. They did then, and they still do today. And he used three images to describe this rejection. He said that Jesus would be like a stone, a stumbling block, that many would trip over him, that some of them they would fall over their faces, but others then would be raised up, that Jesus would divide people then. Some would trip and stumble over him. He would be a sign as well. He would be a sign that would reveal the hearts of people, that many would, their thoughts would be exposed, that our hearts are laid wide open before the Lord then. But then he also said that this coming then would be like a sword for Mary's soul. He speaks of the dark shadow of the cross that falls over Christmas. Listen to what one Bible commentator says about Jesus. You know, we think of him as this baby in the manger. But listen to what this commentator, he says. He said, "Here's a side to the Christmas story that isn't often told. Those soft little hands fashioned by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb were made so that nails might be driven through them. Those baby feet, pink and unable to walk, would one day walk up a dusty hill to be nailed to a cross. That sweet infant's head with sparkling eyes and eager mouth was formed so that someday men might force a crown of thorns onto it. And that tender body, warm and soft, wrapped in swaddling clothes, would one day be ripped open by a spear. Jesus was born to die. He was born to die in order that we might live." So Simeon, in effect, was saying, "Mary, they're going to touch this child, and you won't be able to do anything about it. They're going to hate him. They're going to lie about him. They will spread rumors about you and Joseph. They will smear his name with malicious lies, and you will have to stand by helplessly and watch it happen." And when Mary watched her son die, a sword pierced her soul, because above the cradle stands the cross. This little baby was born to die. But in dying, though, he gave us the greatest gifts that we could possibly receive. You see, he's the deliverer. He came into this world to set us free from our greatest enemy, which is sin and death. And in believing in him, putting our trust and confidence in him, we receive these many gifts of Jesus, these blessings of his deliverance. What are they? Well, they're forgiveness with God, forgiveness of our sin. There is peace with God. God is no longer at war with us, but he is at peace with us through Christ. There is acceptance. You know that through Jesus, God accepts you entirely now and forever. There is holiness. You know, that is one of the gifts then that God gives us through Jesus, is he takes away that sin, and one day we will experience in fullness his very own holiness and righteousness. We will never struggle with sin ever again. The gift of life, eternal life, forever in his presence. Adoption, he makes us his children, sons and daughters of the everlasting God. Every spiritual blessing, I love that in the book of Ephesians where it talks about how in Christ we have been given every spiritual blessing. In other words, everything that is good, God has given to us in Christ. He has not withheld anything good from us, but he has given us every spiritual blessing. He gives us then to access to the throne of God. Anytime we're in need or there's a concern or something, we can go before him to the throne room of grace. Sovereign wisdom and good purpose, we can trust him with our lives, that he can direct our lives and work for good in even the hardest circumstances or situations. He gives us hope, the hope of the resurrected body, of the new earth, the new heaven and earth, and of course the promise of reward, of eternal reward, that he will evaluate our lives, that all that has been done for him will not a single thing that has been done for him will be forgotten. It'll be remembered and rewarded forever. See, and these are the gifts then that Jesus gives to us. But here tonight, as we're celebrating that, these gifts from Jesus to us, you might ask, well, what gifts then can you give to him? What gift can I give to him? Well, you know, the wise men brought gifts fit for a king in those days, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What gifts can you bring? What gift can I bring to the eternal king? Well, I think what gift we can bring, it's the only thing we can give him, which is to give ourselves, to give our hearts to him, to give him our worship, to give him our thanks, to give him our service. We serve him when we serve others. You know, oftentimes people talk at Christmas about how that's the meaning of Christmas is to do good for others, to which I say, well, that's part of it, right? Doing good for others, that's part of what it's about. That's not the true meaning. The true meaning is Jesus, okay? But doing good for others is a way that we express our gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. So what is the gift you can bring him? Bring him your heart. Bring him your worship. Bring him your thanks. And serve him by serving others. And we can give ourselves then to him because he first gave himself to us and for us. Just a moment, we're going to celebrate communion here. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are invited to participate in this, to partake of these elements in remembrance and celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that we're doing a little different here now in the COVID era is we're no longer passing the plate that has the communion elements in it. But everyone should have those individual cups there. If this is your first time here with us, you've not done this, I need to give you a little warning on those communion cups there and a note of instruction. The communion wafer, the bread, is in that top section. You can just pull back that little piece there and you can get that out of there. But here's the warning. Be careful with the other section for the cup there. I found out the hard way the first time that thing, if you're kind of pulling on that, it might be a little hard. You might spill the juice. Anybody here spilled? Come on. Anybody admit you've spilled the juice when you've okay, I knew it. See, the first time I did it and I found out, I was standing over the table here with the white tablecloth on it. Grape juice and the white tablecloth didn't go together very well. So be careful then with that then. So just a word of warning about that then. So in just a moment then, we will partake of that then. And I'd like you then to think about this. As you are celebrating Christmas this year, as you are receiving gifts from family and friends, I'd like you to pause though and remember first the greatest gift that was ever given, which is Jesus, because he is the true meaning of Christmas after all. And so as you celebrate, remember to pause then at the foot of the cross and give thanks for the sacrifice of the Savior. Praise him for saving you by giving you a life of hope. He lived a perfect life of obedience to the law of God. He took the punishment for our sin upon himself, and then he triumphed over sin and death by rising from the grave. And that is a gift that he gives us when we put our faith in him. So let's take a moment then to prepare our hearts to remember that sacrifice, to give thanks for him. Would you take a moment just to quiet your heart before him? Give thanks for him, or maybe there's something that you would like to confess before him, and have your heart ready to receive then these elements. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you sent a Savior into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that this baby who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, that he grew up, that he did live that life of perfect obedience to your word, to the law, that he willingly went to the cross and took the punishment, the judgment for our sins upon himself in order that we wouldn't have to. That he fully met the righteous demands of the law. He absorbed the punishment due us for our wrongdoing. He died, he was buried, and he rose again so that we might be united with him through faith to receive then that victory for ourselves. So Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.